We're very happy to have all of our visitors to be with us. Please know, hopefully you were greeted when we stood and acknowledged our mothers. But among those who are visiting, Brother and Sister Bradshaw, the parents of our own John Bradshaw, and we were able to celebrate the graduation of our grandson from Southwestern Christian College. Good to have them with us. Some of you probably don't know them. Stand up so they can see. All right, John got his good looks from his mother. All right. And then they have the baby with them. Yes. Didn't mean to miss you, sweetie. All right. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to read in your hearing through verse 6. Well, let's do it right. Let's go through verse 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, King James uses the phrase unfeigned faith, that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to use for a subject this morning, raising Timothy's. Raising Timothy's. And the reason I use the phrase raising Timothy's because of our theme. We are involved this quarter in what we have challenged ourselves with, sowing faith. But we're sowing this faith from generation to generation. Sowing gives the idea of sowing seeds. If one wants corn, he plants corn seed. If one wants beans, he plants bean seeds. Whatever it is that you desire, there must be a seed that is sown. What we have in our text today is a faith that Paul calls a genuine faith that has been sown from generation to generation. First, it was in the grandmother Lois, and Lois sowed that faith into her mother, into her daughter, Eunice, and Eunice into her son, Timothy. So as we speak this morning concerning sowing faith from generation to generation, I find this to be a very unique passage that illustrates what it's all about. When you think in terms of this passage, it becomes unique because, number one, it's a little different from the other passages that we have used to make known this idea of generation to generation. The last time I was with you, I shared with you concerning Jacob or Israel, whose faith was sown to his son Joseph. Joseph was concerned that the faith of his father and the faith of his grandfather would be sown into his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. But what's unique about this particular passage is that the men or the fathers are not even mentioned. This one deals directly with the women, with the mothers, and with the grandmothers. May I say to all of us, not just to our mothers and our females who are here, God made you for a reason. God said in the very beginning that it's not good that man should be alone. He made it known that he wanted man to have a companion, and that companion was someone taken from him. So he took a rib from Adam and made woman, presented her to the man. And then we find in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, where God says concerning them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What I find interesting is that there could be no generation to generation without motherhood. Motherhood is the link. It is the very essence of allowing us to have the next generation. Inasmuch as God has made women to be a complement to men, and made women to be able to bear offspring, living in a day where bearing children, motherhood, is not highly brought into the forefront of the minds of our young women. But may I say to us that only when we stay in God's purpose, God's design, will God truly bless the world and bless us individually. I understand the need, and I think that it's commendable that women achieve all the other great things that they are accomplishing. Do not forget, motherhood is one of the greatest compliments that one can make to the God of their creation. For you participate with him, bringing the next generation into being. So I know why God took the time to highlight a grandmother, a mother. And if you read the text, you'll find and know their story, you'll find that Timothy did have a father. But his father was an unbeliever. His father was not even a member of the body of Christ. So this grandmother and this mother stands out even more in being able to sow genuine faith generation to generation. When I think in terms of our lesson this morning, what's really important is genuine faith. And I know that genuine faith, he could have just said faith, the faith of your mother and the faith of your grandmother. But he took the time to say the unfeigned faith, the genuine faith of your grandmother first and your mother Eunice. May I take just a few minutes to help us understand the difference between just having faith and having genuine faith. And if I do a good job, this is what God wants us to pass from generation to generation, not just faith, but genuine faith. Genuine faith, first of all, I know is rooted in the Scripture. Someone said, what is it that makes up genuine faith? It's the Scripture. How do I know? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, this is what he says concerning Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There cannot be genuine faith unless it is predicated on Scripture. I hear people say all the time, I believe in God, and I have a faith in God. But that's not genuine faith. And the reason I say it's not genuine faith is because a person can believe in God just by knowing that there had to be a God who made this world in which we live. No person is that unintelligent that they would say that things just happen the way that they happen. I believe that intelligent people know that there is a God, and they say, well, I believe in God, but I'm talking about genuine faith. Genuine faith is predicated on Scripture. That's why Paul says that from childhood thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures is what God uses to deepen our faith. God will not talk to you audibly. I hear people saying, well, God talked to me. Well, you better check your sources, because it probably is not God that talked to you last night and talked to you this morning. No, God speaks to us through the Scriptures. You cannot have faith in the person of God, the person of Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit unless you have knowledge of the Scripture. It is the Scripture that allows you to know God and then to be able to trust God. Jesus himself said in John 5:39, he says, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Paul says, even in this same epistle, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Which simply means, ladies and gentlemen, that there is no way for you to have a genuine faith unless your faith is predicated on a thus saith the Lord. It's not a feeling. No. What was passed from Lois to Eunice and from Eunice to Timothy were the Scriptures. From a child I have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. When you think in terms of the faith and the Scriptures, not only does it come through a knowledge of the Scripture, but a genuine faith is based on the humility with which one receives the Word of God. In other words, you can have the Word of God, but your faith will not really grow and blossom into genuine faith until you have the right attitude when you hear the Word of God. Now, there are some people, when they hear the Word of God, they will agree with it because it agrees with them. But then there are some times when you hear the scripture and you don't agree with it because it doesn't agree with you. That's not genuine faith. Genuine faith understands that if God said it, then I believe it. And that settles it. If there is an adjustment that has to be made, I've got to make the adjustment based on what I know the Word of God teaches. That's genuine faith. Everywhere you look at faith, it'll always be predicated on a thus saith the Lord. God said. And that's why you and I need to read the Word of God. We spend our time on our cell phones and our iPads. They are so sophisticated now that all you have to do is say, Siri, give me 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and I'll need you to wake me up with that in the morning, and Siri will do it. That's just how sophisticated. There's no excuse. You don't have to walk around with a big Bible. God has fixed it where all you got to do is just program, just hit an app. So I'm simply saying that genuine faith is predicated on knowledge of the scripture. Notice I said the scripture. I'm talking about the written word of God. That's what I, you know, no. When I believe in God and God, no. Not if you're talking about God talk to you. That's not genuine faith. Genuine faith is predicated on the word of God. And Timothy teaches us that. This lesson teaches us that. It's predicated on how you live. This is what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 21. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. Receive with meekness, that's the humility of heart. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Genuine faith that must be passed down is a faith where the word of God is received with meekness. You got to get all that other stuff out of the way and let the word of God have its proper effect. Jesus illustrated it this way. He said that the kingdom of God is as a man who goes out and sows seed. And what he's sowing is the word of God. But it's determined, the growth is determined on how a man hears the word of God, how he hears the teaching of God's word. There are some folk, they hear and it doesn't affect them at all. You just showing up for church, for worship service, that doesn't make you a believer. That's not genuine faith. Genuine faith is a man, when he hears the word of God, he receives it. Then God is able to grow that faith. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The word of God has to have free course, free access to be able to develop that genuine faith. But it's predicated on the written word of God. May I say to you, genuine faith is not only predicated on the word of God and on how we receive the word of God. Well, I don't have to be in a rush, do I?
No.
All right.
No.
All right, but put on the screen Matthew 13, and I want you to look with me at verse number 15. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 15. I want you to see this because there are a lot of people who need to know the effectual benefit of the word of God. The word of God said, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. That's the kind of world we live in. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts. Once a man understands with his heart, then he will do what? He will turn. The reason that you have a genuine faith is because once you hear the word of God, you'll turn. So that I should heal them. There's healing in the word of God. And so that's why you got to open up your ears. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. The Bible said, but blessed are your eyes for they what? See. And your ears for they what? Hear. You want genuine faith? You want to pass genuine faith down? You got to do it through the scripture. You got to do it with an open heart. And then this faith, to be genuine, it's got to be a tested faith. Put on the screen for me, 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want verse number 5. And I want to show you something here, because this is so important that we understand. And when you look at what he's saying, that the faith, the genuine faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother, the same is in you. This is the kind of faith he's talking about. He is saying, watch this now. We are all kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Be ready to reveal it last time. But watch verse number 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while, if need be, you have been grieved by various, watch this, you have been grieved by various trials, temptations. You're grieved by them. But watch this. Here's the beauty. That the genuineness, the reason that you got a, God doesn't want a faith that just talks. That's not genuine faith. A genuine faith is a faith that has gone through some fire. That's right. Amen. That the genuine your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when I hear Timothy, when I hear Paul talking to Timothy, he is saying, Timothy, the faith that was in your grandmother is a tested faith. Your grandmother's been through some stuff. Your grandmother knows the scripture or knew the scripture. Your grandmother was turned by the scripture. And that faith was so strong that it had an effect on your mother. And I'm persuaded. No, I'm persuaded that it's in you also. We are people who as soon as our faith gets tried, we run away from God. We're what you call fair weather Christians. Amen. Well, I'll be in service as long as everything is going well. Amen. Eunice was a woman who came to service when things weren't going well. Amen. Even in the midst of her sickness, she praised God. I mean, listen, there is no faith that does not get tested. God tested Abraham. God tested Job. And if you're in this audience and you want to know what should I pass on to my next generation or my children, you pass this kind of faith down. I know my time is gone. You know, let me put another scripture. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. I think I have a little more time. I didn't hear but two people say, preach on. Two people out of all this audience. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I got your back. I got your back. Now, this is the commandment. I want to start at verse number 1. This is a commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to do what? To do what? God has commanded to teach you that you may what? Which you are what? Crossing over to what? Possess. In other words, they're on their way to the land of Canaan. And God wants them to go over with a genuine faith. And he knows genuine faith cannot come unless there is a commandment of God. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments which I command you. Well, here it is. You and your what? And your what? What do you think? What do you think Eunice and Lois are doing? They are Jewish women. I know Eunice married a Gentile, but she did not let her Gentile husband dictate her faith. She put God above her husband. Somebody ought to say amen. And when she named Timothy, she named him as one who feared God. She didn't name him Junior. I don't know what his name was, but she didn't call him a junior. His name is Timothy. And that's why we need to grow up some Timothies. And I'm not talking about males either. I'm talking about females. People who fear God, but it has to come out of genuine faith. And then my last point is this. And that is, you'll have to read all of that, but it's good there. He says, teach them when you wake up in the morning, and sit it by the way, when you go to sleep, when you wake up the next morning, just keep on teaching them. Now that's what he wants you to do, but listen to this. Now that you know that this is what he's really wanting, and this is what he's emphasizing, genuine faith, I want to read the text to you again. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to listen to it with a different understanding. What you're going to hear is, you're going to hear Paul's concern. Paul is about to die, and he knows that I'm about to leave here. And he's concerned about all of the churches, and he's concerned about all of the preachers. But guess who comes to his mind? Timothy. And why does Timothy come to his mind? It's because Timothy needs some encouragement at this time. And that's why he uses this idea of genuine faith to encourage him. But listen to it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, listen to him, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And guess what? That came out of the scriptures. Oh, I wish I had time. I know, but when I say that, I don't mean I want to take the time. I'm just telling you that I know better than to take the time to do it. But it's there. And watch him, he says, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen to him. He's pleading with him. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. That's generational. As without ceasing, I remember you. I haven't stopped praying for you, Timothy. This is what mothers have to do for their children. And that's what we've got to do for the next generation. We can't stop praying for them. Pray night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. I don't know what's wrong with Timothy, but something has brought him to tears. That I may be filled with joy. Timothy, I want to come and put my hands on you. Timothy, I want to come and fellowship with you. Timothy, I believe if I could just get there and get in your presence, I think that would help you. But I'm in prison. I can't get there, so I'm writing this letter to you, Timothy. He says, now watch him, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Now, Timothy, no, don't act like it's not in you. No, it's in you. And the reason I know it's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. And this faith, genuine faith, was in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded If I were a betting man, I'd bet everything I got, Timothy. It's in you also. What is he doing? What he's trying to do is call on Timothy to remember. Remember your grandmother. Remember your mother Eunice. Remember how they went through trials and they went through tribulation and they came out. Timothy, whatever it is that's bothering you, you got some history. Mama, you got to have in your own life an example for your children when they get weak. They ought to be able to say, I remember mama. Remember last week I told y'all we ought to talk about us. No, I didn't tell y'all I quit. But anyway, this is what I was trying to tell y'all last week. And it is, everybody ought to have a story that you pass on to the next generation. My daddy talked to me. My daddy talked to me about the troubles that he had in the church. He talked to me about the trials that he went through as a preacher. But you know what he instilled in me? That God will bring you through. Now I have to remember that. My mother was right there by his side. They would sit in the car and they would talk. They'd come away from service, and instead of calling the members by name, they would call, you know, Sister M, you know, Brother B, Brother so-and-so. Man, I was so smart, I knew who they were talking about. Hey, man, I knew who that was. But he was teaching me. You don't have to worry about that. If God's got your back, you just make sure you're doing God's will. That's what he taught me. And so all I'm simply saying is that as we look at this thing from generation to generation, let's deal with it with genuine faith. Genuine faith. And then he goes on to tell him, before I miss my point, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Sometimes we just got to stir it up. No, it's in us. No, it's in us. But we get weak. And sometimes it just needs to be stirred up. And so this lesson is about stirring up our faith. Not just faith, but stirring up genuine faith. Now I'm going to tell you this, and I'm through. When Timothy got on track, Timothy then began to respond out of his faith. He became a good soldier. He became a good farmer. He became a good athlete. He won races. He planted good seed. He fought the devil. He fought evil. He fought all those things. Why? Because his faith is a genuine faith. When you grow a Timothy, he will produce righteousness, godliness. He will not allow himself to be bought.
Amen.
A Timothy is a person that you can depend on. Paul sent him to the Philippian brethren and said, I commend him to you. That there's nobody like Timothy who would truly have your best interests at heart. Will not try to care for himself. He will not try to take advantage of you. It's all about you. But you know where that came from? It came from a genuine faith. I don't know where you are. But I'm going to tell you what the world needs.
The world needs some genuine, faithful people. Now, I'm telling you, it's not coming from Washington. Y'all hear me? Now, y'all can talk about me if you want to. You can put me in any category you want to. But I know it's not coming from Washington. It's not coming from the Republicans nor the Democrats. Democrats nor Republicans.
Amen.
The only place genuine faith is coming from is the people of God. God called us to be the light of the world.
Amen.
The salt of the earth. And we got to sow faith.
Go ahead, bro.
Got to.
Go ahead, bro.
The world is in trouble. It will not survive unless we get on our job and stir up our faith.
Amen.
Get our faith stirred up in God. Live according to his will and not our will. And when you hear the word of God, turn. May God bless you. Sometimes I find myself like Timothy. I need encouragement. You too. But the beautiful thing about it is that we know where to go. Let's raise some more Timothys that our world would be a better place. Will you do that? Let's stir up our faith according to the gift that God has given to us. And that gift is faith. That's a gift. Faith is a gift from God. And he's telling us how to stir it up. You've heard the word this morning. Will you believe it with all of your heart? Will you give your life to Christ? Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they which testify of me. The only way I know about Jesus is that the scripture has to tell me about him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe it. It's down in my soul. And long as I believe in him, he'll save me in the end in spite of who I am. That's the kind of faith that you got to have and not let the devil take that away from you. Will you give your life to Christ? He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Will you do that? Will you come? Come right now by hearing this gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism. That'll put you in Christ, in the church of Christ. Somebody ought to come. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing.
Would you be free from your burden of sin?
There's power
in the blood,
power in the blood.
Would you for evil a victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood,
and there is power,
power,
wonder-working power in the blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb,
and there is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the prayer.